readings. Leviticus 5:14 to 6:7 and Leviticus 7:1 to 7. There's twice it's repeated that the fundamental rules about how the animal is killed are the same as for the sin offering and the disposition of the animal. That means that the animal is killed at the door of the tabernacle, and only certain parts of the animal are brought through the door. The rest of it is brought, carried by the priests to a particular place outside the camp, and there burned. And the priests that carried it to that camp are unclean until eaten. Now, that's mind-blowing important. Let's look at that.
Are we getting started here?
What? No, we're not starting. No, what does it sound like we're doing? What the hell does that mean? Are we getting started?
Would you say that?
Is it night out? Is it dark?
Is Moby Dick a whale?
Is there something you're trying to say?
Does chicken have lips?
We're supposed to be in another room.
Because I really feel better.
Really?
Yeah, I really feel better.
Okay. On our own?
Yeah, what shocker.
Does this mean we're not doing the 3-year cycle anymore?
No. We haven't done it forever. We're are going about as soon as we get it.
As soon as we're not doing it.
No. It's not what it means at all. Okay. As soon as we get to a place in where we know that everybody's here and everybody's feeling good, then on some Sunday, probably 2 Sundays in a row, we're going to start meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going to catch up with the readings. Then from that point on, we're going to do the readings on Sunday and study this. Either if we have time during Sunday or Tuesdays and Thursdays, okay? But, no, I haven't at all forgotten. I just want us to, I think for us, for Bananas, now, this is the most important thing. Okay? Go to Leviticus 7. Remember the idea of the cardinal points of the compass? And the other mysteries that we've talked about? Towards the right is always towards God. Towards the left is always away from God. Towards the north is always towards evil. Towards the south is always towards the mystery. Towards the east is always towards the way you came from, which is vanity. Towards the west is towards God. You got those ideas? You understand them? All right. When I said all that, you'll know why in a minute. Verse 6, verse 30. No sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place shall be eaten, and shall be burnt in the fire. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. Okay? Where do they kill the burnt offering?
It says here where they kill the trespass offering. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I misread. That's probably not a smart thing to do, right? Let's go to chapter 1, verse 11.
Leviticus.
And this is the chapter 1 is about the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering from God's standpoint is the highest, it's the most wonderful, it's the purpose of life, it's the purpose of time and space. For us, it's the last one we apprehend. But it's listed first because that's God's perspective. And he shall kill it, the burnt offering, on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle the blood round about the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them, etc. Now look at your tabernacle. Normally you think of, we're so used to in America, or in the Western societies, to think of the top of the page as north. Remember, if you've ever done any kind of cartography, or you always put north to the top. Well, in the spirit, it's not that at all. In the spirit, north is always towards on this side of the page, in terms of as we view the altar. Now, notice that the only entrance to the core, to the whole thing, is this E, right? what's A? A is the entrance, curtain, and pillars, the door of the tabernacle. And it's out, and it's immediately from, away from, or next to east. Now, when this was manifested, this was translated, became the permanent temple, the east gate of the temple was next to, it was right next to the Valley of Hinnom. The Kidron Valley, the Valley of Hinnom, which on the cross of it was Mount Olive. This valley was Ha-Hinnom in the Hebrew, the Hinnom. Ha-Hinnom or Gehenna is the Greek translation of it, was hell. The only entrance to the tabernacle is when you're right next to hell. When you're right next, when you've lost all other options, when you feel like you've lost everything, then you enter. Then you have the capacity to enter. And you kill the burnt offering and the trespass offering are both killed on the north side of the altar. What's that mean? What does it mean? Why would God say to kill that offering on the north side of the altar? From God's standpoint, the most evil of all things is religion. From God's standpoint, the most evil of all things is the idea that you think you've now got it. Because once you think you've gotten it right, which is religion, what that means is that repentance is not possible. Can you understand that? So when the sacrifice is killed on the north side of the altar, when you see that you have presented yourself the living sacrifice, then it's that place in which you think you were right, that dies. Does that communicate? From God's standpoint, it's the north, it's the total evilness. From your standpoint, it's the place where you think you're right that has to die. Does everybody understand that a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Leviticus 7 then. So now we've killed the thing in the same place they did the burnt offering, verse 2. And the blood, the second half of verse 2, the blood thereof shall be sprinkled round about the altar. Now again, every time in the scriptures from now on, when blood is sprinkled, it means access. The whole book of Leviticus is access book. It's how, it's the mystery, it's the instructions, it's the revelation on how you as an individual and we as a body find access to God. Anytime blood is sprinkled, it reveals access. Now this is mysterious. Now hear me. The trespass offering, which is the lowest in the apprehension, why in the hell would you want why would you want access to the burnt to the burnt altar, to the brazen altar, which is made of brass, which indicates judgment? What you're asking for by sprinkling blood around this brazen altar is you're asking for the judgment of God. You're a damn fool for doing it if you're in the world. You understand me, what I just said? When you sprinkle the blood around about the brazen altar, you're asking for brass, always indicates judgment. You're asking for the judgment of God. The only reason anyone is dumb enough to ask for the judgment of God is because you know that's the only way you get to the mercy of God. Hear me closely. When Jesus was talking about in John 10 about the way, I am the door, if anybody that goes in by any other way is a thief and a robber, every other aspect of religion that offers you some promise without going through the judgment of God is a thief and a robber. And the only way you get access, the privilege of experiencing the judgment of God, is by the sprinkled blood round about the brazen altar. That's dumb to the world. Why in God's... Hear me. The reason so much trouble is that he only understands the burnt offering and he doesn't understand that worth of shit. For him, there's no such thing as a trespass offering. He only understands a type of the burnt offerings, his type. So he's either always coming to me offering me some little burnt offering, some little thing to get him, or he's afraid he's going to be kicked out of the camp. Chastisement is not possible. I can't say to him, you're wrong about this. This is what needs to happen. Because if I say to him, you're wrong, he thinks in his mind he's outside the camp. He cannot apprehend the possibility that there is a trespass offering, which is taken care of.
He cannot understand that it's necessary for him to die in the place where he thinks he's right.
That's right. He can't understand the judgment. He doesn't know that once he's said, name the name of Christ, the first thing he has to get is the judgment of God. But spiritually, it means, from the standpoint of the offerings, it means he's trying to get to the burnt offering without going through the trespass offering. So therefore, chastisement is not acceptable. You can't have chastisement. Anytime that someone, you experience chastisement, you think it means you're out the door. Because that's the only options available to you. Now, some of you are like that, a little bit. You understand? That happens to be the most clearest example, but Harry's like that. Harry can't hear chastisement. He only hears, I am accepted and my stupidity is accepted, or I'm out the door. You cannot have discipleship if there's no discipline. You cannot have disciple. You cannot be a disciple if there's no chastisement possible. You understand? Now that's why the mystery of acceptance of self is to understand that Christ has fulfilled the trespass offering. Therefore, your fears about being chastised are given over to him. You don't have any worries. You can be chastised by the best of them. And you say, and you know that the offering has been completed by Christ. I don't think you understand. Let's go on. We will. We'll spend some time until you understand.
Well, there was something you said yesterday when we were sitting there that turned a light on inside my head. I don't remember exactly what it was because it went away as quickly as it came on, but it had to do with the thing about knowing that you could be chastised, that there's something between the two extremes. But it was like you said something that I almost saw why we're studying this.
Don't try to apprehend it. Rest and be apprehended by it. Do you understand? Can you at least feel a hunger for the offerings? You may not. I mean, I've studied it for 18 years, and I'm still amazed every time. I mean, every time I read them, I see something. But right now, all you need to know is that the first act of the trespass offering is that it must be offered on the place where you think you're right, not where you think you are wrong. That means that when Christ talked about, I said unto you, It has been said, or it is written, that thou sh- that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, what did he say instead of it?
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Take your coat, give them your cloak.
That means that in every place where you think you are the offended party, you are the offender. You hear that?
In every place you think you're the offended party,
you are the offender. Now, therefore, the trespass offering is seen in the place where you thought you're right. Therefore, you've seen that he offered it. He was the offerer. He was the offering, and he was the priest that accepted it. You rest. You don't have to worry about it. And then you can repent from self. You can turn from self. You don't have to take self seriously. Do you know how sick I am of people that take self seriously? Do you know how sick I am of people that come and give me their little offerings?
Nobody in this group.
Huh?
Nobody in this group.
No.
Meh.
And the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. You gotta hear this. He's sprinkling it round about the altar, which is the brazen altar, which is the altar of judgment, which is the altar of death. He is, by the act of the trespass offering, you are given the right to die.
Could he burn up?
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you see, can you start to see why I'm so furious at these idiots like Tilton? They make a joke of this. They try to get to the mercy seat and the benefits and the blessedness by another door. Therefore, they're thieves and they're robbers. The fact is, most of you are thieves and robbers also. Because you're trying to get to the door by some other place other than the brazen altar when you haven't even seen that the blood has been sprinkled on the base and you don't even want access to the brazen altar. You want access to the mercy seat or some other romantic thing. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards. Now what in God's name does that mean?
Fat that covereth the inwards?
No, the fat. Why are you offering the fat? Let's take one thing at a time.
The fat part.
The sweet.
What's the fat?
It's burns the part. If you're cooking meat, it makes it the best. It
burns good.
Savor, and it adds oil.
What is the fat to you?
The best part.
Yuck. Well, you're a woman, you hate it, but...
No. If you're a woman... The fact that you're concerned about your own fat or your own gaining of weight is simply the spiritual indicator that you're trying to retain the fat for yourself as opposed to offering it on the altar. Fat represents self-seeking. So if you're concerned about gaining weight spiritually, what you're doing is give it up. If you're concerned about weight gaining, give it up. Burn it on the altar. Am I communicating at all?
Yes.
And he shall offer of it all of the fat thereof, the rump. That was the rump.
That's the best part. Best meat. Best, the most tasty.
That's where the what's the best cut of the meat called?
Tenderloin.
No. What's the whole thing? The best cut of the meat called? We were gonna have it in Tabernacles. Remember?
I've
What did he call it? What's the name? But I forgot.
Oh, Steamship
Round is the best part of it. It's the rump.
Price tenderloin someday.
Huh?
It's about $40 a pound.
Steamship Round is more expensive.
I've never seen it, so it must be. I don't even have it in the store.
No, we don't. You only get it in the best restaurants in the world. But again, the rump is the best part. The best part. The best thing. The best, the most precious. Which is, it's like the fat is what you think is the best. The rump is what really is the best. You understand the difference? The fat is what ministers to self. Now, you can hear this now. You can hear this, oh, poor me, I'm doing this or not doing this, or I'm doing this, or this is bad, or this is this, or this is that. Or you can see that he's already made the sacrifice, therefore you can forget about it. You understand me? The idea, the goal of the book of Leviticus is knowing that you have automatic access to God, and if you have access and oneness of God, nothing else in the universe can bother you. You hear me? So the real idea of the end result of the book of Leviticus is you can afford to abandon yourself. The first requirement of a disciple. You can finally afford to abandon yourself. Because all of the offerings have already been made. All the access is completed. You have perfect, unblemished, uninterrupted oneness with the Father and with God, with the Creator, with life, whatever you want to call it. And therefore you rest. All right. And the fat that covereth the inwards. Now, what does that mean?
That's belly fat. Men get that more.
That's tall, right?
Yeah, but what does it mean? Spirits mean in the natural. What does it mean? How do you manifest that as something meaningful to you?
Beer. It's sort of beer gets predominantly made up.
What's the fat that covered the inwards?
Spirit.
God.
It's bad fat.
Okay, let's leave it there. We'll get. I want you to.
Most unhealthy fat.
And the two kidneys. Now, what's it? What's he doing? He's taking all this stuff that he's mentioning in it, and he's going to burn it on the altar. The rest of the body is taken outside the camp and burned. Yeah. So something of, and if in fact, if it's burned on the altar, means it's pleasing to God. You understand that? Mm-hmm. It's something, there's something, it's burned on the altar, therefore it has some efficacy from the standpoint of access and blessing and God stuff. It's not yet a sweet savor offering, but it's necessary for something. And it's not voluntary, it's compulsory. What in God's name could this, the fat that covereth the inwards, now we got, what do kidneys do?
They process out, they process the waste.
Kidneys regulate in spirit. What kidneys do is regulate prophecy.
Yeah, for the longest time they were believed to be the seat of emotion.
That's right. What kidneys do is they regulate prophecy. In other words, they determine spiritually what is going for urine and what is retained for the body. Kidneys, I mean, it's incredibly important to understand that the kidneys, which, number one, what about them? Number one, they are automatic.
Yeah, automatic. No control.
There is no possibility of conscious control of the kidneys. I don't care how far you've developed in yoga. You can't consciously control the kidneys. What does that mean? It means that every time you urinate, you understand that you don't have to second guess your own prophecy. Do you understand? That you can afford to just, just look at if you understand. What happens if you try to hold it?
You go anyway.
Can't
hold it. Huh? You can't hold it. You probably sign all over your pants. You get all crazy.
You. What happens if you hold it is you lose the capacity for abandonment of self. And you become totally and completely self-seeking.
That's true. When you gotta pee, that's all you can think about.
That's right. That's what this means. That's why the fact that the kidneys are considered something that is taken and given and offered to God is if you can hear this, it means that you understand, if you just, who decided what you're going to say and when you're going to say it and why you think what you do? You didn't.
So, it's like the bladder
that's
of wisdom.
Proof of. So your reins are God's. God has the reins.
That's right. Therefore, what you're doing, if we are a body and you don't prophesy, you are causing the body to be self-centered, to be egocentric.
And some of that prophecy is going to be trespass. A lot, most of it is going to be trespass.
Most of it is.
That's
what's the famous Darylism. Well, I'm just prophesying. And he said, well, I'm just flushing.
Well, that goes back to thinking you're right. Just because you say it doesn't mean.
Just because you say it, there's no merit in just saying it. You understand? People always say, well, you've told me all my life that I should just prophesy. No, I do, and now I get in trouble. I say tough shit.
But we don't necessarily have to have a reason why we said it.
No.
That's
what locks
me up is
Steve. Locks, because he always has to have a reason. Every time you say something to him, he wants to know the reason why. You can't just accept the prophecy that it's there.
So it's like the bladder wisdom? I mean, it could just go straight to the kidneys.
Remember,
you know what I mean?
Before you get too confused, remember everything about the trespass offering, except these things that are enumerated are burned outside of the camp.
Right.
Okay.
So just an aside. Because I was thinking about children and...
Because they're unclean.
Because when you're a kid, you have no blood control.
That represents...
They're of no use. They're value. They're in the dump. The only purpose was to carry the sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle.
So
the
rump
and the
kidneys were burned outside the
kidney. No, the rump. These things are enumerated and burned on the
altar. The only thing that matters is what goes under the altar. Everything else was just part of it.
The only thing that matters, the only thing that's worth mentioning are the things that are placed on the altar for the purpose of being burned.
And these are actually just Christ.
They're parts of Christ. In this manifestation, in this revelation, in this level of apprehension. Now remember, everything I'm telling you right now is the lowest possible level of apprehension there is.
So he had, I mean,
that's really awesome. When you think of the stuff we are talking about, which seems to the mind awesome, is the lowest aspect of apprehension there is.
There was a body prepared for him. He was in that body. That body had muscles and sinews and feet, all that kind of stuff. And all that did was get his kidneys and all this stuff to the altar.
In this manifestation, in this picture, all it did was get the rump and the fat and the kidneys to the altar. The rest of his part.
The entrance then is...
death. The entrance is death. Okay. And the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the take away where? He takes them to the altar. And there the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering.
So who's the priest then?
Huh?
The priest.
Was Christ. Priest was the offerer, he was the offering, and he was the priest that accepted it. The idea that he's the one that made the perfect offering, I mean, he's the offerer, otherwise you'll get yourself all screwed up. You understand? You wonder whether I'm doing something right. He did it all. That's all you have to know. But you can't get by with just saying he did it all, because that you'll be caught. You understand? Your mind will trip you. You'll try your best to try to play and play the cliche games. It's the Holy Spirit that's guiding me. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place that is most holy. That's wild. What the hell does that mean? We're taking the trespass offering, and the priests are eating it, or parts of it. Which is, they're eating the rump.
They're eating the rump.
What does it mean? What does that mean? They're eating the thing. This is a trespass offering. It's for screw-ups.
To see it.
Well, no, they're not here.
No. I mean, literally, the screw-up sustains the priest.
That's right. Without the screw-ups, the priest could not be sustained.
Don't need a priest.
You understand? Anytime eating is talked about, it means sustenance. It means what gives you purpose and meaning and bearing and purpose. The very fact that a priest is meeting need, i.e. talking to people in problem areas, that's his sustenance. Now, the scriptures say that you each are priests, kings. You can only be sustained for the trespass offering. Your function in life is for you. Once you now understand this, it will be manifest. Your sense of destiny, your raison d'etre, or however you say it, can only be there when you're helping someone solve their problems in a trespass manner. You understand?
The man I went to Thanksgiving dinner at Matt's mom's house. Because it's basically all we did the entire time. Just talked to various individuals at the party who were wrecked, you know, on divorce and blah blah. So that's all we ended up doing, was walking around the whole time going, well, blah, 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 do this, do that. Well,
no. But you, you understand
this,
that?
This means that.
Any time that you, that you're not meeting needs, that you're not trying, you're helping someone in their trespass, you will feel like you're sorry. You will feel unfulfilled. It's real important. You've reached this point now. How? Why have you reached this point? Because you're studying this point. That's why. Worked that I was going to say because I said so.
Yeah, I did.
There's a couple things already tonight. It's amazing the way God makes stuff. It's like this is reminiscent of a perpetual motion machine or something. And there's this thing about you have to die in a place where you think you're right. Well, if all the individuals in a community do that, then there can't be against us. And it's like,
that's a good point. It's only with the trespass offering apprehended can there be a community. It's only with the trespass offering apprehended can there be the Beatitudes. Christ spoke the Sermon on the Mount to a people who had apprehended trespassing.
Yeah, without that, you've got civilization, which is nothing more than a truce. It's a bunch of dogs with muzzles on. For mutual benefit.
Okay. Everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Now, it says male, but remember, what did Jesus do with this? That's why Jesus said there's no such thing as male nor female. Bond nor free, Greek nor Jew. Everyone is a priest in the body of Christ. What happens is, the reason that occurs is because what that happens the moment you see that your femaleness or your maleness has served its purpose. That it's served, you've seen the picture, now you know it served its purpose. Now you live for another purpose. Amen? Okay, now this next. Every priest shall eat it thereof, it shall be eaten in the holy place, it is most holy. What that means, therefore, is you can only minister in the holy place. When you know you're in that holy place, is the only time you can meet a need. Then therein, by meeting that need, you will be sustained. The moment you try to anlander it, you'll be killed, and you'll feel totally unfulfilled.
The moment you attempt to minister from fear.
Yeah, oh yeah, then you're dead. It's eaten only in the holy place. It's eaten only when you are not, when you don't have anything to gain or to lose in the equation. You understand?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's especially true with you because of the things you run into. And Harry, the reason you do is because you're a picture. But with Harry, you know, he's our object lesson for right now. Harry and Barbara are normally the two best. They're the only reason I'm here is because they're like a multimedia presentation.
And of course, Barbara's been gone for a week, so
yeah,
it'll take a while.
Yeah, it'll take a while to get her back up to speed.
Get her slideshow back.
Yeah. Vacation.
Get the music.
But Harry tries to talk to Vic or to Larry or something, and he's from the standpoint of trying to protect something or a position of fear or uncertainty. So he's not ministering in the holy place, and what happens is he gets his lunch eaten.
He gets his rump eaten instead of eating it wrong.
Yeah.
Good point.
That's good.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Getting real tired.
Okay, now watch. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. Now, the whole idea, let's go to chapter, well, let's first of all, let's go to
625.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. I just thought of something. When Solomon
told the women to cut the baby in half. Remember that? Did he really believe that the baby was cut in half? I mean, did anybody in that army or that surrounding really, except the two, the ones that were being spoken to, did anyone else really think that he would allow the baby to be cut in half?
Sure.
Huh?
Yes.
I don't think so. Let me give you an example.
I know what you're saying. Because I think he would have cut the baby in half in an instant.
No, I don't think he
would. Hear me. I promise you that if you think the baby would be cut in half, that you need to hear the lesson of the baby being cut in half. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Larry is coming here. That's what this was about, in a sense, he's our object lesson. Larry came down here allegedly out of concern for Vic. Because he's convinced that I will fire Vic if he doesn't quit smoking, which is ironic because Vic wants to quit smoking anyway. Nobody else really believes that I would ever fire anybody for smoking. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm. Except for
Larry did it and Rex did. All that statement of saying of threatening to cut the baby in half does is reveal a condition that exists. Do you understand me? It reveals a rebellion that exists that must be dealt with.
Own mind, you can't say like, you know, I'm going to trick him.
Oh no, of course not.
You have to believe in your own.
No, but let me look at history. Look at there's 14, 15 years of history. Does anybody believe that I would kick Vic out because he smoked a cigarette?
No.
You do in the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd kick Vic out, but if you'd kick me. Well,
okay, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. This is Leviticus 6:25. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offer it for a sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. You understand? I mean, this is wild. There are 46 things in the Bible for which the death penalty is the fruit of it. And every one of you have committed all 46 of them. But what is the mystery then? God says, if any man touch the horns of the altar, he's holy. If somehow, by hook or crook or stealing or deception, you could get into that holy place and grab onto the horns of the altar, you are holy. That means you were exempt from everything. Then there's another provision. If you could somehow make it to one of the seven cities of refuge, there you were holy. There you were protected. Forty-six things that you could be shot electric chair for, and all you have to do is somehow make it to the horns of the altar or to the city of refuge. Now that's what you have to keep in mind. All right, let's go to We'll see more of the the thing of as is the sin offering, so the trespass offering later. But go on to verse 8. It's chapter 7, verse 8. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat thereof, and all the meat offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest that offer it. Well, anyway, we're at verse 7. That's where we stopped. Now, let's go back to 5:14, and let's see if we can read a little bit more of the understanding of this mystery. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord. Now, what does it mean, sinning through ignorance? Remember, we talked about it last time. God takes the position that any act of trespass is an act of ignorance. It doesn't mean sinning through ignorance, that i.e. that I didn't know that I was doing it. That's covered by something else. So the idea of sinning through ignorance is the idea that you know what you're doing, but you do it anyway. And God calls that being ignorant. Okay? If a soul... What?
Is that ignorant and stupid? Huh? I always get hung up on this word. Is that ignorant and stupid? Or is it ignorant
and
stupid? It's ignorant
and
stupid.
Yeah. Well, you said there was a difference the last time.
No, the other one is ignorant. Is ignorant you didn't know.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to go on to see that. Okay? There's another one that says that you didn't know you did it. Okay? That one just says, the way it talks about it in here, it says, and you wist not that you did it, or you knew not. No. Huh?
You do it, and you know even though you know you're not supposed to do it, but you do it anyway.
That's ignorant.
Oh, I can understand it now that you put it that way.
Well, I mean...
If you pray...
All that is covered by the trespass offering.
Right. Okay, well, let's go on. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish. Now that means every time he trespassed, he brought a lamb. Can you imagine how many lambs and rams were brought to God? Then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish. Now remember, this is one of these without blemish things. Yeah. There's a whole industry of selective breeding. I mean, the Jews back at this time, this is 1450 BC, had genetics down to a science. Because they couldn't even have a hair follicle be of a different color. All right. Then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy, who's thy? Thy, the priest, estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. In other words, he's bringing the ram for the offering because it was the act of being ignorant, the act of trespass. But then he's repaying that trespass after a common... It's after the shekels of the sanctuary, of a value for that trespass. You understand that? That's totally different than any Judaic system. We say we're after the, our system is after the Judeo-Christian system or our legal system. It's not. All right, now watch. And he shall make amends for harm, for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereunto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it should be forgiven him. Now, he not only takes, this is if a soul committed and sinned in the holy things of God. Remember, this is now talking about trespassing against God. It's talking about the first four of the Ten Commandments. It's talking about sinning with regard to prayer. It's talking about trespasses with regard to praise. It's about having praise or prayer mixed with things of the world. It's in this mystery thing of how in God's name shall I act before God. You understand? We don't think that we can make mistakes. This is the problem with religion. They don't think they can make mistakes with regard to praise because they're praying from sincerity, or they're praying from or praising from sincerity. God says, that's wrong. Now, what does it mean to you? Honestly. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it or knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Now, that's pretty wild. I happen to see today a phenomena called MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
And MC Hammer was this rapper.
It's a rap group.
It's a rap group, and I saw him on. Remember, we get that. Well, the way the TV is connected, even though we don't get cable now, I get MTV. And there, that's right. And the name of the song was called Pray. Pray. P-R-A-Y. By MC Hammer. And all I could see was the trespass offering. He's getting all kinds of, you know, the guy was talking beforehand about how he's being praised by the churches and the religious community because of this song called Pray. It was the definition of a trespass in the holy things. What's a bad video of this guy bouncing around like it's an African tribal dance? Well, I don't know about that, but it's just...
Yeah, that really is a trespass.
But my point is, the world thinks just by the act of the sincerity to pray. That's why you see these idiots at restaurants. Okay, let's grab. There's nothing that makes me sicker. They go in and they bend their head and they pray, and all the little kids, they teach the kids to do it. Well, if you believe Jesus, they have their reward because they're praying to be seen of men. You did it.
I know I did it. That's what I said.
You did it?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I forgot that, or we wouldn't have started dating.
Relationship.
Relationships.
That
wasn't
an accusation. That was a surprise.
Oh, you know, you did it? Oh, you did it?
But we used to always say, we'll do it in spite the scorn of men and being embarrassed. It's like a sign of, in spite of people's reaction.
Yeah, that's me. Talking about Jordan Michael.
I'd love to talk to him.
I was right. I was growing up back east. I used to believe that all Christians were dorks. I was right.
No Christians are dorks.
No actual Christians. I've been
a guilty for worse. Where is it? Well, whoredom works in Babylon, doesn't it?
Jimmy Colgate and I.
Go to Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.
Yeah.